evening, everybody. My name is Kurt Kallenbach, and I am the people. What are we going to do tonight? Let me get some of this stuff out of the way that I had on the top of my brain here for a couple of days. My wife and I were in Bartlett, Illinois, a couple of days ago. And it was pretty interesting. It's a kind of a suburb of Chicago, you know, where the some of the hootie hoots, the hoity-toities live, you know, the ones that go back and forth into the city, probably attorneys and judges and such. But my point is that here's a place. It's a cute little, it used to be a cute little community. And Bartlett, Illinois is one of those trial police state communities where you now have to have a license to have a garden. Yeah, you have to have a license to have a garden in Bartlett, Illinois. Can you imagine? You know, you're trying to teach your kids about tomatoes and grapes and cucumbers or what have you, and you till up the soil and you put down some seeds and you're all excited, and the local law enforcement guys show up with you and your 7-year-old daughter or son, and they arrest you or they ticket you for having an illegal garden in your backyard, or who knows, maybe you have a couple of, you know, tomatoes hanging from one of those little tubes. But I tell you what, folks, I'm so disgusted with this place.
Fruits of tyranny, my friend. Fruits of tyranny, designed for the vegetables and the masses.
Yeah, hi, Ralph.
Good evening, Kurt. How are you this evening?
Not too darn bad. It's kind of funny how, you know, the ones I see that are enforcing these ridiculous laws or statutes are the vegetables. Anyway,
well, we can, you know, we can hurl the ad hominems all the, you know, all we want. You know, the thing that's interesting to me, though, when I see rules like that, and I don't mean to interrupt your monologue here, and I'll let you get back to it in a second, but, you know, when I see stuff like this, I always wonder what the genesis of this stuff is. You know, it's like, where does it originate? Who thinks up this stuff, and who goes and gets it implemented, and why do we only find out after the fact? Why do we only find out that we can't grow fruits and vegetables in our own yard? Usually our first experience of it is somebody shows up and tells us we can't, and then pulls out that ticket book, and issues a citation.
That's exactly right. And I guess that's the point is, in a weird sort of way, that was the point of my invitation for tonight's show. And I'm going to try to cover some of this every week because I'm trying to make a point through the invitation for the show on my feelings about things. But here's this week's invitation for those of you that do not have the opportunity to receive them. I only have about probably somewhere between 600 and 800 people on my email list, and which is not a big list, but in fact I try to pare it. No pun intended, for those of you in Bartlett, Illinois. Anyway, here's my invitation for tonight, and I want to cover it because it sort of leads into where I'm going with the whole show tonight. So sorry, by the way, this was the subject line to my invitation. It is America Dying of AIDS? And that's AIDS. So here it is, Dear Friends and Enemies. Sorry for the strange subject line, but I felt it an appropriate acronym for today's worthless sheeple population. It seems that anything the mainstream media decides to promote becomes the average American's dominant thought for the day, the week, the month, the year, or the lifetime. This is what I actually meant when I stated that America is dying of AIDS. A is apathy. That's a lack of interest or concern, especially in important matters. It's a lack of emotion, impassiveness. I, ignorance, lacking education or knowledge, demonstrating a lack of education or knowledge, unaware or uninformed. D, denial, a refusal to comply with a request, a refusal to grant the truth of a statement, a disavowal, a repudiation. And F, self-destruction, the act of destroying oneself, to destroy oneself or itself. AIDS, apathy, ignorance, denial, self-destruction. I go on to say this. At what point will the American people, Americans in quotes, by the way, because I am always, always, always trying to differentiate America from the United States. Let me start over on that paragraph. At what point will the American people decide to terminate the cancerous private for-profit foreign entity located in D.C. called the United States? How much blood must the United States citizen swim through before he realizes that he is an accomplice to the imperialistic atrocities of the Bank of England and its murderous actions? What exactly must take place before we all awaken to the crimes of these world bankers? It goes on to say, think about this for a moment. By the way, this next quote is from the Daily Bell, one of my more favorite blog sites, or actually websites. It says, what are the odds that WikiLeaks would release an Osama bin Laden nuclear bomb story only a week before his putative death at the hands of American Navy SEALs? We at the Daily Bell have long pointed out that WikiLeaks is probably some sort of Anglo-American intel operation, and that this story excerpted above ran at USMSN.com Newsline, among other mainstream U.S. outlets, is right in line with that expectation. This seems to us, when coupled with the death of bin Laden, to be obvious propaganda designed to frighten citizens of the West into giving up more wealth and power to the globalist facilities that will supposedly keep everyone safe from the terrorists. It is a kind of dominant social theme that bin Laden's death will result in retaliation, and thus the already authoritarian West will have to undergo further totalitarian incursions. And then I just said read the entire article at this hyperlink. It says, I go on to say, maybe we all should be preparing ourselves for the next monstrous false flag attack unleashed by the United States / Bank of England upon its own apathetic, ignorant, denying, self-destructive population. That's the point. I actually think that what's happening out there to us is actually by us. The when I say AIDS, I think it's a fairly all-inclusive statement. Apathy, ignorance, denial, and self-destruction. I can't see a more appropriate acronym for what's happening to America today. And again, I just want to be very clear about that. I'm speaking of America as opposed to the United States. The United States, most people, let me go down a different path for a moment. Many people don't realize that the United States is a foreign entity to America. I know that, you know, months back I used to beat this dead horse, and I sometimes forget that there's always new people listening. The United States is a foreign entity to America, completely foreign. And until people recognize that the United States has basically nothing to do with the Union States or the sovereignty of the Union States, other than what the representatives, the supposed representatives, do when they get to the District of Columbia, there is no United States, with the exception of, well, there is today a United States. There normally would not have been a United States until the Union States collectively got together and were in Congress assembled. That was the United States at one point. Now the United States is a private for-profit murder machine controlled by the Bank of England, or the Crown Temple, as it were. Let me keep going on this for a second, and then Let me see. I have a whole lot of little notes here. Let's do this real quick. I had a conversation. I had a call after this rather powerful invitation went out. I had a call from a friend of mine that has another show, and he called kind of laughing, and he had a gal on the other end of the phone, and he was laughing about the fact that I use the acronym AIDS, A-I-D-S, for my feelings about the death of America. Well, here's what, and Fred really does know his stuff, and I don't know who Rose was, but I'm sure I'll find out fairly soon. I don't know who she was, but she seemed to be fairly well informed. Here's what's interesting. In the 10-minute conversation I had with both Fred and Rose, and this is probably not more than an hour and a half ago, maybe 2 hours tops, I gave them one piece of information, and it silenced both of them. And in fact, Rose used an expletive towards me. I didn't take it personally because I expect it when I say something along these lines. Here we go. I'm going to bring this out for everybody right now so they know what it is that both Fred and Rose responded in total silence to. Here it is. Rose brought up the idea that there is a, apparently next Thursday or this coming Thursday, there is a debate. That means a debate within the political system of the United States. Now, here's the problem I have with any conversations that has to do with politics in America. And again, remember, I differentiate America from the United States. Here's what I know. When you register to vote, let's back up just a second. The Declaration of Independence states that governments are instituted by the consent of the governed. It's an odd sentence all by itself, but let's just stick with the general idea here. Governments are instituted, put in place, propped up, kept in place. They're instituted by the consent of the governed. Okay, that there it is, right there. There's the sentence. When you register to vote, you are A, claiming U.S. citizenship. That's the very first box to check in your voter's registration. For those of you that have forgotten, go online and pull up your voter's registration and see what the very first box is. Are you a U.S. citizen? Yes or no? Period. So, you claim U.S. citizenship. You also then give up your power of attorney. You registrate, you hand over the property of, in other words, you hand over your rights. Those in D.C. now speak in your stead. They are speaking for you by proxy. You have given up your power of attorney to these people. It does not matter what party wins. If the left, the right, the Ron Paul, if a Republican, a Democrat, it doesn't matter who wins. They have, by proxy, your rights. And they act in your stead. You have given it to them. So that's what the voter's registration is. Here's what they found hard to believe, if that wasn't bad enough. Here's what they really struggled with. Think about this, people. Think about this. When you claim, which is the very first line of the voter's registration, when you claim U.S. citizenship, you're claiming to be a resident of the District of Columbia. You reside. People don't understand the difference between living and residing and all that stuff. I'm not going to get into that tonight. I want to make this very simple. When you claim U.S. citizenship, you become a resident of the District of Columbia. Let me say that again. As a U.S. citizen, by your own hand, by your own claim, you are a resident of the District of Columbia. So here we go. How many Electoral College votes are there? Now, everybody, I don't have to hear about whether the Electoral College is valid or not valid. It's irrelevant. I'm asking a question. How many Electoral College votes are there? What are there? Like 538 Electoral College votes. In order to win an election, you have to have 270 of those 538 Electoral College votes. Here's what I find interesting. I don't even find it interesting. I find it sad because there's not a single soul. I have never, ever heard anybody in my lifetime even say what I'm about to say other than myself. Here we go. You are a U.S. citizen residing in the District of Columbia, because all U.S. citizens reside in the District of Columbia. All, 100%. The District of Columbia has how many Electoral College votes? Three. The District of Columbia has three Electoral College votes. When you claim U.S. citizenship, you are a resident of the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia has three Electoral College votes. Every 100% of the registered voters across America are United States residents, the residents of the District of Columbia. Every registered voter combined, whether there's 130 million or 150 million, it does not matter. All registered voters combined have three Electoral College votes. Okay. I know right now there's a lot of people going, you've got to be kidding me. Well, here's the problem with that. 130, 150 million registered voters have three Electoral College votes. There's 538 total Electoral College votes. You need 270 to win an election. Here's my question. If all 100 and some million registered voters voted for the same candidate and cast all three of their Electoral College votes for their candidate, what is the likelihood that their three Electoral College votes is going to elect the next president and vice president? I would say zero. There's not a chance in Hades that if every American voter, and I say American because I'm speaking for the American people, not the U.S. citizen, because Americans, when they go to the voter's booth, they believe that they have something. They believe that they have a right to speak. They believe that they even have the ability to find and to elect, but they don't. It's not even a mathematical possibility. You have three Electoral College votes combined. 130 million, 140, 150 million registered voters, total three Electoral College votes. I can't, now that's a dead horse that should never be beaten enough. Here's the other side of that equation. And this is where both Fred and Rose they just froze. They were silent. Because here's a woman that she actually got after me and said, that's not even possible. That's not true. Yes, it is. So it doesn't matter what party you're voting for, because everybody, 100% of the U.S. citizenry only has three Electoral College votes combined. That's it. That, end of story. Who gets the rest of them? Well, I believe the Senate and whoever else in the federal so-called government actually chooses the president, because three Electoral College votes can't even make a difference. It can't even. I mean, what percentage of 538 is three? That's what I expected. Well, wait a minute here. I really didn't.
0.002.
Okay. What is it?
It's 0.002.
So 0.002. What is the likelihood you're going to get, you know, your man or woman in office? Zero. There's not even a chance. Now here's the other side of that. This is kind of, and then I'm going to Well, who knows what I'm going to do. Here's the other side. When Rose got after me and said, yeah, but we're represented by so-and-so or this or that, I said, actually, Rose, no, you're not. There is no representation of the masses. Why? Because the masses are residents of the District of Columbia. The 10th Amendment protects the states, and also, I just threw that in there just because I want people to really think about this. If you are a resident, a U.S. citizen and resident of the District of Columbia, only, and I'll say it again, only the states have congressional representation. If you are a citizen and resident of the District of Columbia, should you expect congressional representation. No, because you are not of the Union State any longer. You have given up your, I mean, seriously, by your own hand, by your own signature, you have given up all rights by proxy to whatever happens in this government. Remember, instituted by the consent of the governed. Your consent is the voter's registration. So I'll just close up with this, and then we'll move on to something else. So let's recap this last 10 minutes or 15 minutes. When you register to vote, you have given up your rights. You have actually given up your, handed over your power of attorney to some other official to vote, to react, to do whatever in your stead. By proxy, they can do whatever they want, regardless of what party it is. Again, when you register to vote, you are registering for a system. And here's where it gets really ugly. There are two systems possible. One system is the one that you believe you're participating in. One system is the Republican form of government. One system is where the Constitution lives. That system is where truly representation exists. Now, but when you register to vote, you are actually registering for the alternative system. You are creating and participating in, even though it's very a minuscule aspect of it, your voter's registration is the institution of a new form of government. Your voter's registration is the consent to a new form of government, a legislative democracy run out of the District of Columbia. It has nothing to do with the Republican form of government, which you thought you were involved in. No. The moment you register is the moment you go against the Constitution. Voter's registration is your last vote ever cast. So, let's keep moving. You get the voter's registration, you've claimed your new form of government. You are a resident of the District of Columbia as a United States citizen, all through your own hand, all through your own consent. You have 3 Electoral College votes as a resident of the District of Columbia. You have no representation in Congress because only the states have representation in Congress, and you are no longer a person of the state. In my case, Illinois. In Ralph's case, Arizona. When we register to vote, we become residents of the District of Columbia. I know most people cannot possibly understand this. And it's sad because I'll get beaten and beaten and beaten out there in the streets by the Tea Partiers and everybody else saying that's not true. Yes, it is. Why do you think that the public policy gets handled and so easily? Why do you think that there's not a single ear directed towards the screaming and hollering by the masses? Because it doesn't have to be. You guys have 3 Electoral College votes. You have no representation in Congress. There isn't even a chance that anything that you want to happen will happen. And again, all I am is the messenger. And I don't know how, I don't know how it is that after all this time, you know, after a year of saying this stuff, it's still impossible for some people to grasp. And you know what, on that note, I think we should probably get out of here for a break. We'll come back on the other side of this thing. Ralph?
Let's do it. You're listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach here on the Liberty and Freedom Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Expert advice, contact the Survival Center at 1-800-273-8255. 321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
Founding fathers gave us their lives. Their sons and daughters carried on with pride. Our fight for liberty and freedom has no end. It's with our lives that we defend. Freedom found its home in our hearts and minds, and we'll never let it go. Stand up in America, stand tall for all that we believe in. Long live freedom in America. To worship, a right to speak, a right to vote, a right to be free, the right of every child to dream and to believe. No one can take these rights from me. Freedom found its home in our hearts and minds, and we'll never let it go. Stand up in America, stand tall for all that we believe in. Long live freedom in America. Fathers can still be heard tonight. In the voices of all who cry out, cry out for more time. This is America, the place where freedom found its home.
There's been a few of these little instant messages up here that I've noticed. I took a look at some of them over the break. There seems to be a lot of questions about the two types of government. Let me see if I can draw a picture for people in their brains. And again, I don't buy into whether any of these are good or bad. I'm just going to tell you how it is, because that way I don't have to go down, you know, the path of the founding fathers and all that stuff. But the the Republican form of government that everybody believes they're involved in. You know, the guys that want to go back to the republics and restore the republics and you know, the Constitution, whether it's the Constitution for, the Constitution of, or any of that stuff. You know, that's the Founding Fathers' Republican form of government, where the Constitution protects the masses, sort of, in the Union, the sovereign Union states. That's one side. Think about a left and a right. On the left side, you have the Founding Fathers and their Republican form of government. That's where freedom is. That's where the Declaration of Independence is. That's where the so-called Protective Constitution and Bill of Rights is. That's where they are. Well, there's another government, too, and it's a legislative democracy. The legislative democracy is basically the government of the District of Columbia. It's that's all it is. It's a municipal corporation, but it has its own government. And that is, sadly, the government that is writing policy for all of America. Again, America is not the United States. America are the decent, hardworking people out there. America is the land masses and the sovereign Union states. America is all the stuff that we believe gives us and allows us our freedoms and where we believe our rights are, our God-given, unalienable rights are out there in America. America is part of the Republican form of government. That is one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is this legislative democracy of the District of Columbia. There are two separate issues going on here. Here's the problem. In the 1860s, a new form of voters registration came into play. The voters registration was the institution of a new form of government. When you register to vote today, you are claiming United States citizenship. It's the very first question. When you claim United States citizenship, you're already claiming an allegiance to a different form of government, the legislative democracy out of the District of Columbia. You also hand over your power of attorney. You hand over your rights as a man or woman. And by proxy, that means in your place, in your stead, the people, the elected so-called, they get to do whatever they want within the District of Columbia. The policy that then is written is policy that's written for the United States citizen, those claiming citizenship to the United States, the legislative democracy of the District of Columbia. Now, here's the sad part. When you register to vote, you give up the one form of government and replace it with the other. You institute, like the Declaration of Independence says, you now institute by your consent, by your own handwriting, by your own signature, by your own authority. You breathe life into and continually breathe life into this new form of government. What is a new form of government? It is the government of the District of Columbia. So, do you have, the moment you register to vote, do you have any protections from the old form of government? Do you have any constitutional protections anywhere? No, you do not. Does the Bill of Rights affect you in any way as a registered voter and U.S. citizen? The Bill of Rights has nothing to do with you anymore, if it ever did. But it doesn't anymore. To register to vote is to give up the protections of the Constitution. It is to walk away from freedom. It's to walk away from the Republican form of government the Founding Fathers established. Until the masses understand that simplicity, there are two forms of government. One of them is dormant. The other one is ruining the planet Earth. I know I get a lot of arguments about a lot of, from a lot of folks on that, but so here's the thing. Everybody participating in the system that requires voters' registration, every registered voter has committed an act, a criminal act, against the Constitution. That criminal act is called misprision, M-I-S-P-R-I-S-I-O-N. Look it up in your Black's Law. You are actually, it is contempt against the sovereign. It's contempt against the Constitution. As a U.S. citizen registering to vote for a new form of government, you have decided against the Constitution. That's it. It's as simple as that. And many folks, many really good people, because of what's coming our way, because of the will and force of this new world order coming our direction, many very good people will end up going to their graves fighting for the new world order. They will, because they have actually consented to and authorized this form of government. They're actually bringing it in and don't even know it. And until they undo it, until they walk away from that registration and undo that voter's registration, until they get back to the Republican form of government of the Founding Fathers, they are fighting for the New World Order and don't even know it. So,
hey, Kurt?
I hope. Yeah.
Let's see if we can try and help people step through this process here for a minute.
Okay.
You're not... vis-a-vis the voter registration form, you are not a U.S. citizen until you declare yourself to be on the voter registration form. With respect to the voter registration itself, until you make that declaration, what are you? You become a U.S. citizen, but what technically are you before you sign that form?
Well, unfortunately, because of the birth certificate in your mother's hand, through
I'll get there. I want to try and keep this real simple. Until you are a U.S. citizen, what are you?
You're sort of in a limbo because you have not personally made that decision. But remember, what do they call the age? What is 18 in most states?
Age of majority.
And also the age of consent.
Age of consent. All right. Now, let me take this a step farther. Whatever you are, before you sign that form saying that you are a U.S. citizen, you are something else. Once you sign that form and become a U.S. citizen, is it fair to say that at this time you now have divided loyalties? Are you not sort of, in a sense and metaphorically, if not actually, a dual citizen?
Well, when you do, it's not so much the citizenship aspect, because that's a separate issue. What the voter's registration does, even though it has you claim U.S. citizenship because you must be one in order to participate, there's the other aspect, which is, again, this is where it's difficult. It's not so much the citizenship that we should be talking about. It's the fact that it's the institution of a different form of government.
Okay.
At 18 years old.
That gets me.
When you sign the voter's registration, you are actually instituting and participating in a form other than the Founding Fathers.
All right, here we go.
So it's not the U.S. citizenship that we should be talking about. We're talking about now you have the legal ability to institute through your own hand, through your consent, the type of government you would like.
Here's where I want to go with this. Basically, when you declare your U.S. citizenship, Let me and bear with me while I paint, you know, while I paint this analogy and metaphor for a minute. When you sign that form and you become a quote U.S. citizen, I think that's sort of analogous to being naturalized a U.S. citizen. But what were you originally? I want to take this to the eligibility issue that we've been struggling with in this country over our usurper in office, Barack Obama. What we have here is that he has basically become a U.S. citizen. And in a sense, our entire issue with this man is divided loyalties. His father was a British subject. He is reputedly an American citizen. Okay, but we, you know, leave out the arguments about illegal alien for a minute. I want to keep this simple. When you sign this form, you are in essence becoming a citizen of another country than what you were originally, if I'm right. And is this not the essence of this entire issue that we are having with the eligibility of our own president? The divided loyalties. Are we not, you, me, those who sign that form, declaring ourselves to be a U.S. citizen, now usurpers of that original entity?
Absolutely.
I'm reaching here, but I want people to get what to me is suddenly becoming very clear as the distinction that signing the voter registration form, until you signed it as a U.S. citizen, what were you? You were a foreign, an illegal, well, let's not say illegal alien, but let's just say you were an alien. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
You were an alien. You were an alien to
the
United States.
You are, in fact, again, even through the IRS process, and this is a maze to figure out, but you are, to the United States, District of Columbia, which is a foreign entity, you are a non-resident alien. That's what your actual status is if you were of the soil of Illinois, Arizona, or what have you.
A non-resident
alien.
A non-resident alien.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would that terminology apply to the usurper? And you got resident alien in there too, non-resident alien. By the time you work these terms out, my point is very simple. That what you have is you've got two entities here. Our entire issue with Obama, leave out, you know, the natural born citizen thing being what it is, it was put in there as a concern over, quote, divided loyalties. And I think what might help people to understand this is, in a sense, you were a citizen of the original states, or the original country, if you will, you know, formed by the Constitution 1789, until you declared yourself to be a citizen of what in essence is another country, the United States, another governing body. Do I have this, I mean, is this fairly close? Is this kind of resonating here?
Yeah, you are of America prior to your claim. And again, there's two separate issues going on with the voter registration, and I want to be clear about this. The citizenship aspect is one. That's just part of the form, but the voter registration, that document, that particular signature, all that is like the Declaration says, it's the institution by consent of the government, meaning that governments are instituted by the consent of the governed. That's what the voter registration does. It also makes it so you are forced into becoming a resident or a citizen of that foreign entity called the United States. So yes, there are two things that occur, but ultimately what you're doing is you are a usurper to the constitutional republic by signing that document, because you are now going against the very founding fathers' form of government.
You're swearing allegiance to another form of government.
Absolutely.
There you go. And we basically have this problem with our usurper because he's done just that. British at birth. Now a U.S. citizen. Now, he, you know, there's paperwork involved. There's a whole process involved. My point is I'm trying to help people start to dig into and get a hold of. When you say you are a U.S. citizen, you suddenly became a citizen of something that you probably don't realize isn't quite what you expected it to be or what you thought it was. I'm sorry, guys. I am mangling this badly, but it just hit me. You know, we struggle with this. How do we get people to see this point you're trying to make? And it just dawned on me. The guy not too long ago put out this, this supposed long form, alleged long form birth certificate. And really what that does is that's kind of, this is changing nationalities. And here you got divided loyalties, which is exactly what the founders talked about. And that's why they put the natural born citizenship clause in what we're saying here is that if you have registered to vote inadvertently, you now have divided loyalty. And you may not even be aware of it.
Well, I'm going to have some fun with you for a second, if you don't mind.
Please. Use me, abuse me. If it brings clarity to this issue, we need that.
Here's what's interesting is, number one, everybody already knows that he's... whoever he is, he's the president of a private company outside of constitutional purview. Done. He doesn't need to qualify for the constitutional considerations as president because it has nothing to do with the governmental constitution. That's a private constitution that is renewed every 20 years, has been since 1871. Let's just leave that alone for a second.
In which you and I have no standing, ergo Supreme Court has thrown every challenge to his eligibility out on standing. You know what? They were right.
Well, that's absolutely right. And no person has standing. I mean, that's the sad part is if you're a U.S. citizen, you claim personhood status, no person has standing in their court.
That's right.
Period. But people are going to struggle with the word person or the term person. I don't want to go there tonight, but I just want to say that you're exactly right. No standing in their court. Okay, here's where I want to have some fun. Barack Hussein Obama is a corporation. Look him up. He's on the Dun & Bradstreet. A corporation in the United States is born. What does the 14th Amendment say? All persons born or naturalized. Corporations are born within the United States. Barack Hussein Obama is a private corporation, a for-profit corporation. In fact, he is a business. Barry Satoro is a man. See, people don't realize that Barack Hussein Obama is a corporation no different than Curtis R. Kallenbach on the birth certificate of which they basically claim I am, which I am not, but that's a corporation as well. What I'm getting at is Barack Hussein Obama is a person. I'm not talking about the man of flesh and blood. I'm saying that the name.
The corporate fiction.
He is a corporate fiction, and he is also a person, a citizen. That Barack Hussein Obama is a citizen of the United States, private corporation. It doesn't have anything to do with the man. They're claiming that I am a citizen person of the United States, and here I am a man of flesh and blood that lays no claim to such. So, see, he's claiming it so he can be in that office. I don't want anything to do with the United States. And so it works to his advantage because Barack Hussein Obama is just a corporate name. It's a person that was born
and is
acted upon like any other U.S. citizen.
So when you sign a voter registration, are you claiming that corporate fiction of your name?
That's one of the ways, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And here's the thing is that upon your 18th birthday or the age of majority, that is when you actually do it yourself. That's when you sign it. That's when you institute and agree to this form of government. But that's when you have the option. Somewhere along the line, and it's probably a while back, but I think you have 6 months after turning 18 to actually negate that contract. But nobody knows about this. Nobody knows that on your 18th birthday you can walk away from the United States. Why would they ever tell you that? They want your future earnings. They want your future labor. I mean, that's what the United States is. It's a penal colony. We all know that. And it's all about them using your credit, your ability to earn. That's what this whole place is. I hate to say it, and the folks that are out there thinking there's a government and a country and something to fight for, there isn't. And I just want to be clear about that. There isn't. This is a very profitable business for the Bank of England. That's what the United States is, a profitable business. And until people get that, we're in a lot of trouble. And that's why we're in so much trouble now, is because the very people that want to escape it, the very people that are fighting for freedom and liberties and rights and things like that, are the ones keeping us in bondage. They're the ones that are fighting for our enslavement. So, but again, Barry Satoru is a man. He may have been born anywhere. He could have been born in Africa or whatever, but Barack Hussein Obama is a person, a private corporation established, created within the United States. He is no different a person than the person on anybody else's birth certificate. So the difference between a person, a corporate entity, a corporate fiction, and a flesh and blood man, they have nothing in common. And that's what people don't realize, is that Obama is a fictional creation 100%. 100%. And that's why, you know, he fits right in. You know, any fictional entity born within the United States, you know, a U.S. citizen is a U.S. citizen. I mean, do you have to be a U.S. citizen to hold the presidency? Yes. Is Barack Hussein Obama the person, the fictional entity, a person, as described by the 14th Amendment? Absolutely. Can that fictional character, person, actually hold that office? Absolutely. What about Barry Satoru? Well, probably not. You know, he's probably an African. He's probably got a birth certificate out there somewhere else. But Barack Hussein Obama, the fictional person created and validated by the 14th Amendment, he could be president of this private United States, 100%. People don't realize how this goes.
The key here is whether or not you can start, when you're trying to figure this out, the key is whether you can start to differentiate or to distinguish, if you will, the natural flesh and blood person from the corporate fiction that they create you to be, beginning with the birth certificate.
That may be the key
to helping unlock people's understanding of this issue. Because on its face, it sounds absurd. You know, if you talk to somebody that hasn't waded through this process and had this conversation and understands the distinctions, and I say to you, oh, well, you're a U.S. citizen who resides in the District of Columbia and you only have 3 electoral votes, they look at you and go, huh? What?
Can you imagine how quickly things would change if people understood that simple situation? 3 electoral college votes for every registered voter across America. I didn't say United States. I said across America. Every registered voter claiming U.S. citizenship and residency within the United States has 3 electoral college votes. So if you're out in Alaska, if you're out in Southern California, Texas, Florida, Maine, if you're a registered U.S. voter, you are a resident of the District of Columbia with 3 electoral college votes.
By definition, in the definition of U.S. citizen, you are that.
You are that. It's pretty tough to swallow. I know it is.
You know, basically, when you sign the box or check the box that says, I declare I am a U.S. citizen, oh, by the way, the power of your declaration, you had the declaration to declare yourself a U.S. citizen. One of the things being a U.S. citizen means, statutorily, is you are a resident of the District of Columbia. Bet you didn't know that.
Well, what's interesting is it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. All persons are created within the United States. A person is a fictional entity. It is not a man or a woman. Persons are created in the United States. And all persons reside in the United States. All persons do. Every single corporation, every single corporate fiction, every corporate aspect has to register with the United States. There is not a single company out there that is corporate status that includes sheriff's departments, police departments. Every corporation across America registers with the United States, because, and they're also under the jurisdiction of the United States, including corporations such as Barack Hussein Obama. He's a corporation. He is not, I'm not talking about the man of flesh and blood. I'm talking about the name, the corporate name. Look him up. He's on Dun and Bradstreet.
It might be useful to substitute the word it for he, and you say Barack Hussein Obama, it is a corporation.
Well, you know what then? The name that they gave that's on their birth certificate that looks like my name is an it as well. That's
correct.
The problem, and that's how they... Hey, listen, we obviously got to take a break.
Yeah.
I want people to have an opportunity to call in next hour. So when we come back, we'll give out that number if that's okay.
Well, let's give it to people now. That number is on the right side of the chat room. For those of you not in the chat room, dial 305-848-8888. That will enter you into the conference system. Press the number 1 to enter and join our radio show. That is a conference, and then it asks you for the conference number. The conference number is 480-463-1243, and then press this pound sign. Once again, 480-463-1243, then press the pound sign. It'll ask you to confirm that number. Press 1 to enter the call. You'll hear two tones and beep. You will be joined into the conference and the radio show with us. Please remain silent. We'll know you're there. And if you are listening to our show on your computer in the background, please turn that volume down. There is a minute and a half delay between the time we speak and the time your computer gives that to you because of the delay in transmission. So with that, we're going to go out on a break. You're listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach here on the Liberty and Freedom Radio Network for this Tuesday, May 3rd, 2011. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Contact the Survival Center at 1-800-321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything." your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Now we might have been better off or on the bigger house. Your daddy done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty. It's living his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with the night. He'd say you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You got to stand for something or you fall for anything. I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
That was cutting it close.
Hey,
you and me both.
Well, you know, I got to take a break away from this desk, too, you know. Okay, let's, there's a couple things I want to address here because, again, I did take a look at the, I can't really read and respond real quick. You know, I'm just not that bright, but I caught a couple of comments on here. As far as you know, crossing out United States citizen and signing like Texan or whatever state you're from, that's probably not going to work. You can't take their document, cross out, you know, their information and make it yours. The fact is that you cannot participate in their private system unless you claim allegiance to it. That means you have to claim U.S. citizenship. You cannot be a Texan. You cannot be a free man in Texas. You can't be a Texan and participate in their private system unless you're willing to give up your rights. It's as simple as that, and we have been bamboozled completely on this.
Yeah, as a Texan, if you declare yourself to be a U.S. citizen, as a Texan, you have declared your loyalty to a foreign power. To Texas, the United States is a foreign power. And you have, at the very least, divided allegiance. You have declared your allegiance to the United States. And therefore, you can no longer declare allegiance to Texas unless you are a dual citizen, and the only way you can be a dual citizen is if the Republic of Texas allows you to be a dual citizen.
Well, now you opened up another can of worms.
told you, I'm hammering on this thing. I'm just trying to make it as simple as I can, you know, as I can figure it out. That's all. Sorry, we're throwing a wrench in your works. Go for it.
Here's the problem is with the Buck Act and all the garbage that this United States has committed, these atrocities against the American people. I know Texas is a little bit different than most of the other state of, but ultimately Texas did acquiesce as well. The Republic of Texas is only in the hearts and minds of the Texans. It does not exist in the real fictional world. Sorry, if you are the state of Texas is the only thing recognized in the court system and everything else. You cannot. Well, unfortunately, I'll just say it this way. The Union states as we wish they existed, as we truly believe they do, they do not. The Union states exist only in geography. There are no governments for the Union states. They're gone. All the Union states basically bowed out. The 17th Amendment took the senators out of the states and gave them to the federals. The Union states disappeared. They're all franchises of the United States, and so we don't, there are no Union states anymore. Therefore, the 10th Amendment doesn't protect anybody because the 10th Amendment was for a Union state. It basically gave the Article 4 citizenry and inhabitants of those states the protections, but since the Union states don't exist anymore, there are no protections. Ralph, you brought something up a little while ago. You said, what are you before you claim your federal citizenship or your U.S. citizenship? Well, kind of before you declare that with your own hand, legally, and I mean legally, before you do that legally, you are ultimately of the soil of the state of your birth, which makes you an inhabitant of that state. As far as being a citizen of any Union state, like I said earlier, there are no Union states left, and worse than that, this is something that I get a lot of arguments on, but unfortunately, this is the case. The citizens of the Union states, even when the Union states existed, the citizenry of those states were landowners only. Anybody that did not have lawful title to the land, actually the allodial title to that land, if you did not own that land, if you were not given that land, you were nothing more than an inhabitant. If you were a true landowner, then you were an Article 4 citizen of that Union state, and you were one of the people of that state. Then you, as one of the people and landowners of that Union sovereign Union state, you would, again, as a sovereign state landowner, you would participate as one of the people, as the body politic of that state, and you would send a representative to Philadelphia or the District of Columbia or whatever it may be at the time, and you would be represented. Now, what about the people that were not landowners within Illinois or within or upon the soil of Illinois or upon the soil of Arizona, what have you? You were an inhabitant, but you were still protected by the Union State Bill of Rights and things like that. But I mean, you were still protected by that state's constitution as an inhabitant. Here's the problem. Nobody, and I mean nobody that was not a landowner, was ever one of the people of any of the Union states. You were never participating in that government as the body politic, and you were never represented ever in this system of government under any constitution. And that is where it gets so ugly, is because there's not a single patriot out there that understands that or grasps or comprehends that idea. The reason I say there's not a patriot out there is because, see, you cannot be a patriot to something like this system. You could not be waving the flag that is actually a flag of slavery to you. You would never participate willingly as a slave saying, I love my slave owners. That is what inhabitants are. are. They are not participants in the government. If you didn't have land, if you were not a landowner, you were not the people in any union state. You were never represented at any governmental level, ever. And you were not represented in D.C., ever. And that's where it gets bad for people, is they do not understand this. So, what were you before? You chose, you were an inhabitant at best, but then once you claimed U.S. citizenship, you became a 14th Amendment citizen as of the 1868, you know, United States citizen person. That's it. No rights, ever. There's not a man or woman alive today in America that has ever been free, that is not, or has not, or is not the posterity of those that were involved with any of these constitutions. Dumb. I mean, it's dumb to even consider. But it's hard. I get it. I wish, you know.
Okay, so
it was different, but it's not.
All right,
it's not different. It is the way it is.
So now we get to this point. Withdraw, then what? What comes next?
Well, then you just stay out of the way. Unless you want to be the tallest nail getting hammered all the time. Well, first of all, when you withdraw, let me explain that real quick, too, is that when you withdraw your consent to the situation, that paperwork ultimately only does one thing. It takes you out of the voter's registration. And again, what does the voter's registration do? That is what creates or institutes this legislative democracy, which writes policy such as, what, the Patriot Act, the health care bill, any of this garbage that's coming down where they claim ownership of the water, of the land, of all the food sources. I mean, that's what the United States is. The United States is a nightmare. It's the beast on planet Earth. It's a murder machine overseas. But ultimately, what is it to us? It is our slave owners. And withdrawing consent, all it does is taking away our consent. Like the Declaration says, governments are instituted by the consent of the governed. It's taking away our consent to the institution of that legislative democracy. Does it undo anything else? Well, you know, in your heart it does, and that's the problem, is that because this court system, it's not corrupt, it's all commercial, and it goes way too deep for this particular show, but at your birth, they just connect a commercial entity to you called a person through your birth certificate, which your mother signs you off on and connects you to. It's called novation. There's all kinds of nasty things, but ultimately, because we claim the name on the birth certificate, because we say that's our birth certificate, that's our driver's license, that's our social security number, we're claiming that commercial aspect of our existence, and then by us claiming that, they now have legal rights, legal authority, the court system is completely 100% over that person that we claim. Now, can we get out of it? Ultimately, no. Why can't we get out of it? Because every sheriff, every cop in every city is being told that this, go get that person, go get that person. I mean, by body attachments, they take us into their private courtrooms and then they adjudicate accordingly under statutory, not law, but statutory, system. It's an old civil system. But the point is this, can you get out of it? You can learn as much as you can, but nobody can get out of it. It's the fish, it's the water to the fish. You can never get out of it. We don't have anybody. There's no numbers across America. Nobody wants to actually end this system because they don't understand what they're involved in. Everybody is fighting for their own enslavement. I mean everybody, because the numbers are so small on the other side that there's not enough people actually understanding or comprehending what I just said. They are fighting for their enslavement. 100% of every, well, so-called good-hearted patriot, every single person involved in the political structure of America, 100%, everybody is fighting for our enslavement. Done. It's over with. There is nowhere else to go. Not a single place to go. Fish cannot hide, you know, under a rock in the ocean without still being in the ocean. You can't get away from this. That's why this whole thing needs to be collapsed. It needs to be terminated, and we need to start fresh, not with the old Constitution, not with the republics, not with anything that came before, because ultimately it was all, it's all claimed by Rome or the Vatican, whatever you want to call it, but that's the end of it. It's over with. Once you get to this point, you realize there is no way to defeat it. We actually have to terminate it. It is a cancer, is what it is. I'm taking a breath and a drink of my beer here.
had another question, and I meant to ask you this before, and I was kind of waiting for the opportune time to do it, but now's as good a time as any. Last week you told us about doing a man-to-man lease agreement with a potential landlord. Tell us what happened with that.
Actually, we got a very nice letter back declining my offer. But I should probably, I'm not sure if I said it last week or 2 weeks ago. I think it was last week. See, here's the thing is, the gentleman I wrote the offer to was from Serbia. Now, I think if we really consider this, if you went to another country, I mean, I didn't really consider this at the time, but you probably want to try to follow the rules of that country, their legal rules, so you can keep your property, so you can keep everything. I mean, these guys don't want to, I have a sneaking suspicion they don't really want to, you know, go outside of the boundaries of what they've been told and how they've been told to do it. The offer was amazing, but I think that it just scared him to think that he would be working outside of the system that he's learning here in the United States. Not America, the United States. So I think that was the only deal. By the way, we did have two or three other people call us from other houses that we we didn't like as much, so other people would be more than happy to take us, but this gentleman from Serbia, I think, was probably a little nervous about doing something that he thought may have been illegal.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, it's left to each, you know, ultimately it's an agreement between, you know, two flesh and blood people. And I think one of the things that, you know, one of the things that's interesting is you're likely to run into that kind of concern. I mean, that in essence, you know, that everything we do in this day and age, we're concerned about being, quote, legal and not wanting to step out of the boundaries. And one can argue that that's sort of at the root of our issue, but I think it kind of interesting that my sense is that if you keep putting that out there and finding a place that you're really interested in, I'm betting that someone would take you up on it.
But they will. You know what? We'll be looking at a couple more houses this week. So yeah, it's like Debbie says. You know what? You know, if we don't get it, we weren't supposed to get it. Simple as that. And I agree with that. One thing I've learned is if you write up everything the way it's supposed to be written up and it gets declined, well, you did your best and ultimately, you know, it was a very well-written document and, you know, we just didn't get the place we wanted.
And you were going to send it to me, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I forgot.
And I'll pass judgment back to you, kind of as a land owner and as a landlord. I'd be real curious to see how that came out. I have to tell you that when you first told us about that last week, I thought to myself, I said, my goodness, if I had a tenant who came to me with something like that, I would definitely look very hard at it.
Of course you will. Well, but what if? What if you found after one experience with somebody that actually had not only the wherewithal and the ability to think along those lines, but actually the commitment and the ability to say, listen, you know what, I'm moving into a place that I live in. I'm going to take care of it, you know, and we don't have any intention of buying anything anymore because we know that until this thing gets cleared up, you can't own anything. So I don't want to have the liability issues and all that stuff with not only the overhead and the risk, but why? I mean, we can get into a really nice place that's going to take years of rent to come up with what it would cost actually to get into a decent house again. So
well, I'm a biased You know, I'm a statistical aberration there because I'm sort of up to speed on this kind of stuff. But, you know, it strikes me that as you were, you know, as you were reading it, we tend to try and, in our commercial system, we tend to try and bind people's performance by legalese instead of binding people at their word. And I kind of expanded on that a little bit, and I thought, you know, we really have kind of propagated a culture that is all about protecting the party in an agreement. I mean, if you look at UCC code, Uniform Commercial Code, it's all about protection. It's all about, you know, making sure that there are remedies to, you know, almost every conceivable contingency that could come up. And that's kind of how we've become in this country. And I'm sort of commenting a little bit here, but we, you know, we've evolved into a country that has to, you know, where people have this expectation that they will be protected. We call it the nanny state loosely, but, you know, that we'll be protected from harm, that somehow it's somebody else's job to do that. And I just, you know, that as you described that thing that you drew up last week, I was just struck by, wouldn't it be amazing, and you just said it, were we able to get back to that kind of standing between two parties and have agreements that people honor just out of their integrity. And I almost wonder, you know, did we create government out of a need to protect against a decline in personal integrity and morality, or was it actually the other way around? Did the decline in integrity and morality lead to this nanny state, protect me under any circumstance culture that we live in? You know, it's like, what's the chicken and what's the egg here? You know, and that to me seems to be why we have to, as you put it, terminate the system, because it's the only way we get back to that sort of common law, you're responsible for yourself and your impact on others, that was so prevalent back, you know, centuries ago.
You know, here's the thing, though, Ralph, is that, see, most folks don't realize that the rules, and I'm not going to call them law, but the rules we live under now are old rules. They're commercial rules. They're the law merchant or the law of Hammurabi. When you get back into the concept of the commercial,
they're feudal rules.
Think about, well, but remember, though, who's being protected?
Yes.
The landowner, the owner,
yep,
of the property itself. And there have been no owners as far as the citizenry, and it was claimed that, I mean, it was stated as such back in the 1930s by the Senate report that said all property rests in the state. The mm-hmm. state is the District of Columbia, which is owned by the Bank of England. So no property is in the hands of any U.S. citizen. It's not even a possibility. Therefore, they devised a commercial system to protect the true owners, just like you were saying. There is no handshake deals anymore, because how can you, I mean, between two different, completely different statuses, I mean, the person, the U.S. citizen, is not the people. The people and the persons cannot make deals. It's like the slave owner actually signing a contract with the slave. It is not a possibility. And that's why we have commercial rules since 1938. They completely done away with all law, because law is between men and women. Sorry, I don't mean to leave the ladies out. I'm just saying that man or between men. That means that I should be able to have a handshake deal with you over your property, and you and I, you know, the 15th of every month, I give you this much real value. Well, I did see somebody else here on the chat that said, if you're using ferns, then it renders it a commercial transaction. Absolutely. They did away with money for a reason, because they couldn't control money. They couldn't control real wealth or value. They can control Caesar's money that was created in 1913. That's what they've done, is they've taken it, the ability to own anything, they've taken, well, you know what, though? We acquiesced all the way along. There should have been multiple civil wars in America to stop this crap, and now here we are today in 2011 on this precarious precipice. We're balanced precariously on this precipice, and we could go either direction. I know I pretty much know where we're going, but
we've acquiesced and acquiesced into the condition called no way out. And someone asked me earlier, you know, okay, fine, you do the withdrawal, and then what? There really isn't anything other than understanding perhaps the mess that we got into. I mean, yes, there are things that you can do to, you know, to back yourself out of the system. But in order to answer the question, you know, and then what, you got to put some focus on what your intention is and what your goal is here. You know, is your intention to, you know, to protect yourself and keep yourself in one piece? Is your intention to try and reform the system? Is your intention to, you know, just try and make it so that your progeny has a better condition? What is the intention? And that tells us, I think, what happens after, you know, you withdraw from this system. I think the point is, you know, the point as I see it is that the system no longer has the means or the, if you will, the mechanisms in place to correct the problem at the level that we're addressing it in this conversation.
Right. I think we're about due for a break.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here and come back. We do have the call-in line available, so anybody that wants to call in, take a look at it, give us a call. But otherwise, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
That's it. You're listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach here on Liberty and Freedom Radio Network. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2011. Stay with us for the final segment.
Contact the Survival Center at 1-800-321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
In God we trust. still to run. Here in America, he's the one returning. Every time the going gets tough, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, it's God, he's still to run.
I came to this thing very late. You know, here it is, only 2 years after I got started on this thing, and, you know, 2 years later I'm here and I understand or comprehend this stuff as well as I do, and with a lot of folks that, you know, have taken a journey with me, they comprehend this stuff as well as I do. Here's the thing, is, you know, we came to the game late, and I don't think we have a whole lot of time left, and I'm sure that Ralph would back me on this. You know, this place is completely imploding. America is about to, the United States is going to cease to exist fairly soon. America will be here forever as long as the American people keep their wits about them. But the United States is imploding. It's going to use as much force probably unless the rats jump ship. I actually believe if enough of us wake up quick enough, and it is happening awfully quick, don't get me wrong, it's happening awfully quick, but man, it's really late in the game. But if enough of us woke up to the activities of those in D.C., I don't care whether they're blind to it and rubber stamping everything. The fact is they're participating in our demise. And if they see that we're waking up to their activities, most of those people they're going to jump on their private jets that everybody else financed, and they're going to get the heck out of here to their private villas all over the world because they don't want to be here either. That's one aspect. The other thing is this whole thing's going to collapse and everybody's going to be in it together here in America. I think there is no time left. I'll be honest with you. It's not a gloom and doom situation. It's just that we're so far along and this game has gone on so long. Every aspect of the United States is artificial. 100% of our existence at this moment in time is fake. It's fictional. There is the Wall Street system is completely manipulated and artificial. Every aspect of your existence, all what you believe to be money, all your finances, all your credit, everything you can imagine is fictional. When this plug gets pulled, everything goes down the drain. 100% of those situations, everything you can imagine. But here's the beauty. If we hold our ground, and again, this is part of the consent issue. It has nothing to do with my document or anything else. It's about consent. If we hold our ground, when this thing implodes, if we hold our ground, see, the assets of America do not disappear. Everybody seems to think that the United States and the Bank of England and the Crown and everybody else owns all this stuff. That is not true. They maybe think they own it on paper via debt, but the people living in the houses, They own the houses. The assets do not leave America. We don't have to even recognize their private legal system at all anymore. That's what needs to happen, is people need to recognize the fraud that's been perpetrated and no longer recognize the system. Also, one last thing, I see that we got a caller, but one other thing that we have to do, and Ralph reminded me of this, is that once you unregister and get out of their so-called political system, their legislative democracy, at that moment, everything you do, you vote with your dollars or you vote with your activity. You no longer participate in any of their stuff. You don't make it look like you're even interested in their politics. You no longer go and buy your Coca-Cola at your McDonald's. You stop participating in this corporate fascist system as best as you can. You walk away from as much of it as possible, if not all of it, if you possibly can. You start to do things the way you should have been doing them for a long time and recognize your participation in this fraud. So, I mean, the problem is that we don't want to give up our stuff. We want our cake and eat it. We want to be free, and we want to keep all our stuff. Well, you know what? Read the last line of the Declaration of Independence and see how much they were willing to give up before you think you can have both. You can't have both. We're coming to a point where it's all going away, and the only thing we're going to have are the smiles on our faces and the decency in our hearts with our friends and neighbors and families and stuff like that. That's what we have. We can no longer have any faith in these pigs in D.C. or anything else. It's time to move on. It's time to bring the world back to common sense and a handshake. Okay, sorry. I'm done. I'm moving out from behind the podium right now. We had a caller.
Hi, we have a caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Freddie from Sacramento, California.
Hey, Freddie, how are you this evening?
Oh, just fine. I just kind of wanted to instill something. I'm not on the exact subject, but my intel says that Al-Qaeda militants will plan their attacks and execute them within the next 2 weeks, maybe sooner, before May 21st.
Why? Do you know if there's a significance to May 21st?
I'm sorry, I can't say that over the air, and I don't say it on the chat room. It's just some intel I got, and this is something I thought would be interesting, and I don't want to make anybody scared, because it's not going to be anything really bad or anything, but it is going to happen.
All right, Freddie, thank you very much. Anything else?
Yes, something else. The planets, they align themselves, as you know, of course, and they do all these things, and I'm not very intelligent on the alignment of the planets, but I've studied a little bit and read a lot, and I go on coast to coast, and then I read some things, and it just seems like we're in a little trouble in the next couple of weeks. We're a little trouble. None of this 2012, none of this. I don't believe in 2012. I think May 21st is a little problem.
Well, Freddie, there's a lot of body of evidence and speculation out there about that May 21st. We'll take it under advisement. Thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hey, Freddie.
You have a good night,
bye-bye.
Neil.
Thank you. Over the air, and
you know, Kurt, one thing Freddie is absolutely right about, we're in a lot of trouble. There's no question about that. One of the things that comes up out of this situation that we're in is a lot of people ask, you know, how do you fix the system? And I guess the question that comes to mind for me is, you can't fix a system without access. And that takes numbers too. So for this whole notion of withdrawing of consent, our problem is very, very simple. Numbers. Numbers, folks. A criticality, a critical mass that wakes up and says no to these powers that be. Well, we can't even muster that to go to our congressman. We can't muster that to go march on Washington. We can't muster that for withdrawal of consent either. Fortunately, there is an access that we do have sort of by proxy, and that is that financially the entire world is imploding this system, and it is leading the powers that be so far to the desperation that they are creating the fictions that they are in the media today, moving us toward the Third World War, and whether it happens on March 21st or Nibiru comes through and rolls the earth over on its axis or not. The one thing that's true is that whatever change comes will come when there is a critical mass of people and intention to make that change. I mean, we've been talking about something here that has a certain esoterica, if you will, because it all sort of happens in the domain of legalese and fiction and so forth. The truth is, most of us live our lives day in and day out. And so far, America has not awakened and decided that the problems are severe enough that there is any need for change, or this country would have mustered it.
It's coming, one way or another. I'd like to pose a question to everybody out there and this is just a question, but I want everybody to dig through their brains and ask themselves, as a man or woman, if they can think of anything that the Iraqi people have ever done to them personally. I'd like to know if somebody from Iraq ever did anything personally to you, or if ever anybody from Iraq, or if you can remember any time anywhere in your life that Iraq did something to you. And then I want you to ask yourself if anybody that you know from Afghanistan has ever done anything to you personally as an American. Don't talk to me about the United States citizen and the flag or any of that. I'm asking you, as an American, has anybody from Afghanistan ever done anything to you, whether you were there or they were here, or that you can even think of anything at all that Afghanistan has ever done to America, not the United States, but America. And then I want you to start asking yourself, okay, what exactly did Libya do to the American people? I'd like everybody out there that is considering this stuff to ask yourself, yeah, you know what, I'm curious, what was it that Libya did to us? What atrocities were they committing to us that we went in and started, dropping bombs on these folks and murdering and sending troops in and targeting those people? And now I want you to ask yourself, with the coming deal with Pakistan, what can anybody remember in their lifetime what Pakistan has done to the American people? Because I'm struggling with this, and all I keep coming up with is this Bank of England controlled United States, rolling in the tanks and the warheads and the murder machine into these countries to go after some profitable situation, be it oil, control over some land or something. But why is it that I cannot think in my 50 years, I cannot think of anything these folks have ever done. And don't talk to me about Osama bin Laden and all that stuff, because you know what, he was one man, but we for some reason figured that we should go target an entire country. Well, I guess I didn't make that decision. Bush too did that. But I guess, see, that's the thing. See, if people started really considering what's going on over here, I'd like to know, are you willing to stand in the courtroom and say, yes, those people from Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and Pakistan have done something to me. It's done something to my livelihood. It's done something to my family. Because I don't think there's a soul out there that could find anything wrong with any of these folks. I don't think there's anybody. You see, it's the leadership of this private for-profit murder machine called the United States. It's those folks that are rubber stamping everything that the international bankers have in mind. And they're using you. They're using the American people, calling them the United States citizenry, but they're using the American people. And this chicken's coming home to roost. This chicken's coming home to roost. When their job is done, when the United States finally finally demonizes the American people enough to where everybody on the planet wants to come over here and wipe out every last living soul on American soil, because that is part of their job too. Their job is to make sure that everybody on the planet hates the American people. Because they're done with America. They've moved over to China already. They've already moved on. Their next America is China. They'll do to China what they did to America in 240 years or 250 years. But China's next. I don't know that they'll have an opportunity for China, because they think the entire planet's going to implode. But again, the thought that I had just before the break, I believe, was this. The assets, the wealth of the world, doesn't move into bank accounts. It doesn't even leave your home. If you no longer honor their private system, they have no wealth, because the assets are in our hands already. It doesn't go anywhere when we decide. They talk about dishonor. I've talked about this before. How can you be dishonorable in a dishonorable system? I say that the only way to honor your life, the only way to honor your children's lives, the only way to honor your grandchildren's lives is to stand up for what is right. What is right? And that is to not participate in this system, to not participate in the United States, and to not participate in the mass murder and destruction that this United States has done all over the world for decades. Decades. Anyway, enough of that. Ralph, are you still there? Save me.
Of course. Of course. I don't need to save you. You're acquitting yourself just fine. You know, the one thing that does occur to me, and we talked a little bit a few minutes ago about not having the masses to be able to affect any kind of change. But the one thing I would say is the conversations like this that happen on this show, many, many other radio stations, are having an impact. The truth of the matter is that the people that would make this world, this earth, this planet, their fiefdom, if you will, are in deep trouble. They are in very, very deep trouble. The word is getting out. You know, Bob Chapman on my Sovereign Economist show very often comments that we are winning the battle against these people, that we are, in fact, exposing the truth. We are exposing everything they do. You alluded a little while ago to them getting on their corporate jets and flying away to someplace on the planet. You know what? Unless they have ET connections that can take them off this planet, no matter where they go, we will hunt them down. And we will recapture their wealth. We will give it back to the treasuries. We will try them and take the appropriate sanctions. The reality is that we are successful with venues like this. We are getting the word out. You see your mainstream media today bleeding and hemorrhaging viewers and listeners. And Katie Couric is going away from CBS because her show is drying up like a hot egg on a hot sidewalk in the sun. And they think it's because of a bad economy. They still will not acknowledge that it is because the American people are tired of the lies. They are tired of the ideological spin. What do we do? What do we do after we withdraw, or even before? And what can we do today? We keep spreading the word. We take our money out of the big banks. We stop eating at the transnational conglomerate McDonald's with their Big Macs and their plastic fries. We stop drinking Pepsi and Coke and all of those multinational products. We say no. We stop shopping at Walmart. We start, wherever possible, bartering in the gold and silver and in the precious metals, and further watching their fiat system decline. Folks, do you realize that the U.S. dollar has lost 10% of its value since the beginning of this year? Don't believe me? Go check out your gas prices lately. This, folks, is what you get for sleeping and thinking that you had no power to change it. This is what your apathy, this is what your indifference is. This is what has happened. You had a choice. You had power as the people. But you all had to know enough and work collectively. What's withdrawal of consent, really? It's what Catherine Austin Fitz calls stopping feeding the tapeworm. You know what a tapeworm is? Everybody knows what a tapeworm is. A tapeworm, mostly in animals, but humans get it too. The tapeworm gets into your digestive tract, and it secretes chemicals into your system to make you crave what it needs to survive. The problem is that when the tapeworm takes too much out of the host, the parasite drains and weakens the host dies, and then the parasite dies. What we need to understand, folks, is we need to start thinking about how many ways we feed this corporate thing we call the United States and the New World Order and the globalists and that transnational one-world governance and corporation that they're attempting to provide. They're putting up record profits, and they're doing it on the backs of you and me who continue to mindlessly go eat at McDonald's. You don't think so? Take a look at the waistlines around the country, but I digress. What's interesting here is we have choices. We have power. What we need is the knowledge to understand. You want to make your stab at the powers that be? Look, the financial world of this bunch is bleeding and hemorrhaging money like crazy. You know, we talked a few minutes ago about everything being an illusion in this country. Everything that we have. Take a look at your communities around you. See all those bright, shiny buildings up there? See all those wonderful, nice new, shiny cars that you see out on the road today? All paid for with debt. Debt. Somebody else's money. That's the fiction. That's why people don't own anything. Get out of debt. Pay that stuff off. Stop feeding the beast. You want this country back? That's how you do it. Pull your money out of Bank of America. Stop eating at the fast food restaurants. Start supporting local merchants and local vendors. Talk to them about the possibility of precious metals. It's coming, folks. One day you're going to need to. Today it's optional. Not too long into the future, it's going to be mandatory for your survival. You might as well start practicing now.
Here's a thought, because we only got a couple minutes left. Debbie and I were kind of joking about the fact that, I mean, if we pay a new landlord, let's say, six months to a year in advance with today's Federal Reserve notes, today's, think about this. Actually, Ralph, you're gonna see the logic in this. What if you had a place that you were renting? You probably wouldn't accept this deal. But what if I offered you
an entire
year's rent in today's dollars?
Pay me in silver. You're on.
Yeah. See, you got the deal. See, the thing is if we just cut a check or just hand somebody over, you know, $30,000 for a rent or for a year or two. Think about this. Who's getting the better deal?
Well, this is why, you know, there's this sort of contrast. One of the things we say, and I'll do this real quick before we get out, you know, people say, we say today, pay off your debt. There's part of me that says stay in debt till the dollar collapses and then pay it off in cheap, worthless dollars. But the problem is there, the danger is that if they default, if they revalue the value of the notes based on the new dollars, that strategy isn't going to work. And Lord knows what you can count on is that whatever default they come up with will suit the bankers and will suit the moneyed interest and will suit the creditors, even though, technically speaking, a collapse of a currency is supposed to work in favor of the debtors. They'll make sure it doesn't. But that's that's the whole criminal and fraudulent financial system we're in. The good news, folks, is this. They are losing control. We are winning. Keep spreading the word. keep getting out there and start to think about all the different ways that you feed the beast and start looking at ways that perhaps you can not do that. You know, you get a ticket, go to court. Make them prove their case. Don't just give in and pay it off. That's what they want. That's what they're streamlined to do. Overwhelm the courts. Bring them to a halt. Why? Because what are you doing? You're pursuing your rights, even under their system. Bog that system down. Do what Gandhi said. Passive, active resistance. What did he call it? Passive aggressive? Don't need to pick up guns. They won't bleed when you shoot them, but they'll bleed when you take their money away. And they'll feel the pain of the money going away far more than they'll feel your bullet. That's all I got.
That's right. Well, let's close up with this. I'm going to, ultimately, this was the answer to the question that people have been asking. What do you do? After basically withdrawing from their private system, I say this is, we don't have a lot of time, but in the time that we do have, and in any amount of time we do have, I say continue to educate yourself as quickly as possible, and continue to educate others. Because the more education it gets out there, that's how they've done this to us. They've kept us in the dark for over 100, 130, 140 years, more than that actually, but we need to do that. We need to continually educate ourselves and educate others, and it is, you know, we're going to come to a critical mass at some point where this whole thing is going to collapse in one way or another. It's going to collapse. So on that note, Ralph, as always, it was a pleasure. Anybody that called in, Freddie, it was a pleasure. Next week we'll try to do it again. Hopefully we still have another Tuesday left in us. And on that note, I'm out of here. Ralph?
I'm out of here, too. Thank you very much, Kurt. You've been listening to I Am the People here on Liberty and Freedom Radio Network for this Tuesday, May 3rd, 2011. Next live broadcast tomorrow, Wednesday, May 4th, 6 p.m. Central, Sovereign Economist with myself and Bob Chapman. Until then, take care, good night, and God bless. Thanks for listening.